A major immigration bill is on its way to the Senate now after passage by the U.S. House. The Democratic-authored bill aims to protect Dreamers, young adults who were brought to the U.S. illegally as children. It's not expected, though, to even come up for a vote on the Senate side. Find us online anytime. We're at usaradio.com.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
The Mexican foreign minister is meeting with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo today as Mexico and the U.S. try to reach an agreement over immigration and tariffs. The Mexican president saying he thinks his country will reach a deal before President Trump's new tariffs would take effect. Trump has threatened to impose a 5% tariff on all goods from Mexico effective June 10th, increasing them monthly to as much as 25% if Mexico doesn't help stop the flow of migrants traveling through the country to the U.S. border. The Mexican president saying yesterday that there are signs from the U.S. that a deal is possible. A teacher's out of a job in Texas because of a tweet she sent in which she was simply critical of illegal immigration. At a hearing yesterday, the Fort Worth School Board voted unanimously to fire Carter Riverside High School English teacher Georgia Clark. The district investigated Clark after she sent a tweet under an assumed name to President Trump asking if he could do anything to remove illegals from Fort Worth. And a group of Boston residents catching some heat after announcing plans for what organizers call a straight pride parade this summer. The group calls itself Super Happy Fun America, and the three men who organized it say they're advocates on behalf of the straight community. They have a parade tentatively scheduled for August 31st, but haven't really gotten their permits for it yet. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
Good morning, this is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. Today for Wednesday, we've got partly sunny and then a chance of thunderstorms, high of 81. Tonight, low of 65, more heavy rain, chance of thunderstorms into tomorrow and into tomorrow night. Looks like the sun comes out again on Friday. We have mostly sunny with 81. Friday night, partly cloudy, sunny on Saturday and sunny on Sunday as well. So sunny and 80 degrees for the weekend. So that's good news. We'll be right back.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith, and you're listening to Happy to Help on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. And we are on Facebook Live today if you want to check us out at Happy Hunterdon or Happy to Help. Look us up. And we are so excited today. I'm talking with Joshua Meekins, who is the program coordinator for giveback.ngo or Give Something Back. And welcome, Joshua.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's just start out right away and tell us a little bit about what Give Back does and how you were involved with the organization. You've got a history with the organization.
I do.
And what your role is there. And just it's so exciting. And we've got a lot to talk about. So I'll just let you start and tell
Absolutely.
Us about it.
Absolutely. Okay. So Give Something Back is a scholarship program that helps underprivileged or students who normally wouldn't go to college attend college. Well, we have a specific focus in students of incarcerated parents, homelessness, and foster youth. So we kind of focus there because we see that's where we can make the biggest impact. And we've really kind of seen our program change the lives of a lot of these students. They can attend any of our partner colleges in New Jersey. We're partnered with New Jersey Institute of Technology, William Patterson, Montclair State, St. Peter's University, Rowan University, and the College of New Jersey.
That's a lot.
Yeah, so it's a few. We started off with three, and then we grew kind of rapidly with that. We also do have a specific partnership with Cumberland County College, and they work directly with Rowan. And Rowan. It's Rowan has basically a program that the students stay at their community college for 2 years, graduate, and then can attend Rowan University. Mm-hmm. And that program has actually helped us out pretty well. And it's a nice path for our students to go to who might not be ready for the initial college experience, but can warm up to it and be ready for it. So,
yeah, that's incredible. And the one thing that's different about Give Something Back that I thought was unique and just so transformative is that you don't give scholarships right at the college beginning phase. You start with your youth in ninth grade.
Yes. So we specifically focus on ninth grade, and that's for a couple of different reasons. We see, one, that's where we can make the biggest impact, but two, that's where we can really kind of catch them to make sure that they understand that they have this scholarship waiting for them when they graduate. So it usually challenges them to work a little bit harder, pushes them to work a little bit harder so that they can achieve that 3.0 GPA that we ask them to maintain that entire time. But it also really kind of motivates the community around them to help this child succeed and receive that college scholarship that we are offering them.
Right. And you said, I think on the website and different things, the videos I saw that are just so, I was like bawling this morning watching some of the videos, but it's just so meaningful. And the thing that comes across is that some people just need someone in their life that believes in them and wants to see them succeed and listens to them. And that comes across in the whole mentoring program, which you're very involved in, I believe.
Yeah. So we provide mentoring or some sort of basically community involvement for all of our students. We used to do one-to-one mentoring. So each student would receive a mentor, and that mentor's job was checking on them every month, meet face-to-face, get in contact, you know, keep in contact and really build a relationship. We've started to shift that model a little bit to a community-based organization, which we found is really getting our communities involved with our students. So one of the biggest cohorts of students we have is in Southern New Jersey, Bridgeton High School to be exact, and we've really kind of seen that community-based model get the entire community around these students' success. So they have different community outlets and resources that they can go to that really are pushing them, helping them with their academics, getting them involved, doing community service. You really kind of see the entire community turn around with this program involved.
Which is incredible. And I say this all the time on the show. I'm saying philanthropy is the new community.
Absolutely.
People want something they can attach to and be part of and get excited about, mm-hmm. and help others. And so I think that speaks to that nicely, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's take a step back and tell us a little bit, if you can tell us about the roots of where Give Something Back started and about, does it go by Bob Carr?
Yeah.
Okay, tell us about Bob.
So Bob's story is really unique, and it's funny because I feel like he tells this story all the time, but when he was in high school, he received a scholarship to attend college, and he didn't know he was receiving the scholarship. He received the scholarship. He thought it was one of the nicest things that he could do. And he went to school, graduated, and then once he graduated, he wanted to actually give back to the program that gave him his scholarship, and he was the first one to ever do that. And he made a nice little donation, mm-hmm. and with that donation, it kind of inspired him to continuously give back to his community. As he continued, you know, made the money that he made, he really realized that the best place for him to invest was honestly into the future of students, into people that were going to change the world in the future. So with that being said, he started the program in Illinois, Lockport, Illinois, where he's from, and built the program from there. I want to say in 2015, 2016, he actually expanded and came to New Jersey and Delaware, and then we've been cranking along ever since then.
Right. I think the first one was 2003. Was that when he started?
Yes,
yeah, that's great. And then I just want to hold this up for everyone. So this is the book he wrote, Robert Carr wrote, Through the Fires, An American Story of Turbulence, Business, Triumph, and Giving Back. And it's an incredible story. And he's based in Princeton now.
Yes.
And so this is his first book, Through the Fires. And then there's another book out called First Chance.
Yes. Now it's either out or coming out.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I think it's on pre-order. But
yeah,
it's not.
Yeah.
So if you need some summer reading, it's like a business book and a story of... because he experienced all kinds of stuff with the business too, mm-hmm. that like I called it. So I was telling somebody, I was like, rags to riches to rags to riches. You know, it's kind of like
up and down and up.
I know, right? Yeah. And he's prevailed through it all and is helping so many people. So tell us about how you found out about Give Something Back and your roots with it.
Yeah. So it's really funny because I tell people that I'm a give back scholar myself, and they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. But so when Bob first started the program in New Jersey, he actually started it at Princeton Day School in Princeton, New Jersey. And the thought process was to help students who normally wouldn't be able to go to attend private school and afford it. So at that time, I had applied to Princeton Day. I was in eighth grade, and we didn't have the means to afford it. But once I got there, I heard that I got the Give Something Back scholarship, and I had the opportunity to do it. And the year after that, he actually awarded the scholarship to my my two younger brothers, which was fantastic. And we've gained so much from that program. I ended up going to Villanova University, graduating, and then one thing Bob does ask you once you receive the scholarship is to give back in some way. And my way of giving back was to come back to the program and help other students like me to achieve their dreams, work as hard as they can, and reach that next level of college access, because there aren't many people pushing that and doing that. And I wanted to make sure I could extend that hand and give back the way I could.
So did you know they were looking for a program coordinator? Did you just,
I really didn't. It was the executive director at that time who really much was like, hey, it was crazy because I used to work at the Apple store, and she ran into me at the Apple store and was like, what are you doing here? And I was like, well, I'm working, you know, I do production as well.
Yeah.
And she was just like, well, you want to come? She was working with Bob. She was like, you want to go meet with me with Bob a couple of times? We met a couple times with Bob, and Bob was like, hey, listen, I'm starting a program in New Jersey. Do you want to be a part of it? And the door kind of opened up for me.
That's great. And so how long have you been doing this?
Almost four and a half years. Which seems like it seems like a blink of an eye, honestly, because we took our first group of students in 2015, 2016, and to have them graduate this year is absolutely astounding and fantastic. It's been quite the journey.
Yeah, it's so amazing. We've got so much more to cover, so we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Good morning. Talking with Joshua Meekins today. He's the program coordinator for Give Something Back. If you want to look him up on the internet, giveback.ngo. They offer scholarships and academic mentoring and social guidance. And so Joshua's going to talk to us a little bit about how they're building community and creating community and how you might want to help support these incredible scholars and this incredible organization.
Absolutely. So one of the things that we are kind of making a new initiative within New Jersey and Delaware is we're looking for community programs to partner with as we continue to grow. We're realizing that We can't do it all by ourselves. There, our students definitely need a little bit more academic resources and resources, community resources in general. So throughout the entire state of New Jersey, if you are aware of community resources or just academic assistance, whatever we can get, we'll definitely take. We want to kind of build that network so we have resources to kind of guide our students to. We do provide our own programming, which we do every summer. We have the Scholar Summit coming up, which all of our students come together to one of our partner colleges, and we actually do like a give back boot camp. They get a college visit, and they kind of bond to more to create that family environment. But we're always looking for community-based resources. And if you would love to get in contact with us, you can go to our website or you can email me directly, jmeekins@giveback.ngo. And we'd love to connect with you.
Right. So it would be tutoring organizations also, or what?
Tutoring organizations. It can be
sports.
We do sports too. I know a lot of our students are involved in such things as like Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, things
Yeah.
And then we have like Boys and Girls Clubs, things like whatever. Like that's kind of the hubs that we find. And then within that, we have people who go, okay, here's some tutoring resources. Here's some community service based resource. Like whatever we can kind of get our hands on. Yeah. It's just better to have the network than the not, you know?
Yeah. That's key. And there was a video about you going to Delaware campus last year for your Give Back Boot Camp. Yeah. So are you going back there this year?
Yeah, so University of Delaware is actually our only partner in Delaware. And since that's the way it's kind of set up, we go back there every year with our Delaware scholars, and they love it. Last year in New Jersey, we worked at St. Peter's. And this year, we're still deciding on where we're going to be. But same thing. We're going to bring all of our scholars together. And it's really a really great experience. For a lot of them, it's their first time on a college campus. It's their first time staying overnight at a college campus. It's their first time really away from their parents. But we're kind of easing them into that college lifestyle. So when they get there on campus, they're like, okay, I'm ready for this. I'm familiar with the campus. I know where I'm going. I know kind of like what the whereabouts are. And it's really a fantastic experience.
Well, and they all meet each other, right? Yeah. So they have the cohort, right? Yep. They have people that they know in their classes and on campus that they, you know, they might see them on campus and say, hey. So, I mean, you know, because it's a big mishmash of all kinds of different people, and it's fun to see a familiar face every once in a while, right?
And it's good for them to familiarize each other with themselves, because once they're on campus, it's 1,000 new faces.
Yeah.
But if you know like 2 or 3, it makes it a lot better.
Yeah, definitely. And you have someone to connect with or as a resource if you're just having a rough day, or if you just need to ask a question, and you just that comfort level. Is there
exactly
right? And then I think I saw one of the colleges was kind of like a trade college as well.
Yeah, so Williamson's College of the Trade is that's a very specific partnership that we have. It's only for our male scholars, but they're a fantastic school. I didn't really know much more about them until I actually got more involved with the program. But I think they're like the number one trade school. 90% of their graduates get employed. It's a fantastic opportunity. And it's like I said, it's a trade school. They do specialize in many of the trades, and they just kick butt. Like there's not much more. They're fantastic. If you don't know much about them, look them up. They are.
What's the name again?
Williamson College of the Trade.
And are they're in New Jersey, right?
Pennsylvania.
Okay. Yeah, Pennsylvania. No, because I mean I believe that having college education is so important. But and I'm grateful that I've had mine. But my dad didn't finish college. He went to trade school and worked for IBM.
Yeah.
And a couple of my boys, they're not academic scholars, but they've got skills and mechanical skills. And I don't know if they'll be engineers or maybe the trades are so important too.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to crack books, you know, there's definitely other career paths, a million other career
exactly.
paths.
Everybody's different.
And yes.
I think that's one of the things that we've learned through this program too. There's no cookie cutter solution to helping somebody be successful. It's about putting the right things in their hands and giving them options. I mean, a lot of the students have surprised me with what they kind of want to go into. I mean, you definitely do have your traditional lawyers and doctors, but some people are like, hey, I want to actually be a radio host. I want to go into, I want to figure out like how I can do something artistic as far as like stage development, things like that. It's we have a gambit, like literally of what student interests are. So, yeah.
I know. And it's good to let them spread their wings and figure out what they want to do. Because I know the other side of the pressure for kids is, well, you know, I'm in college and I have to pick a major and I have to figure out what I'm going to do the rest of my life. And I was like, you know, part of the college is meeting people and experiencing things and learning things and figuring yourself out, you know.
Absolutely.
And I say if you talk to half the adults today, half of them have a degree in something different than what they're doing now.
Exactly.
So it's an education that you just embrace. And then if it leads you to your ultimate path, but also even in today's world, I think most people are going to have like 10 or 12 different jobs or careers, right? Yeah, in the new economy, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what else are you doing to foster the mentorship and the community that you're helping to build?
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest thing, so we really did get kind of a big push for these programs. And I think the Scholar Summit, which we actually was the first annual last year, I think this has really kind of been that hub because like you said before, it's exposing them to things that they've never really seen before. And we constantly try to do our best to do that every single year. We do have specific speakers or different artists that do come every Scholar Summit. This year, I know we're having the Global Village from Philadelphia come down to Delaware and hopefully our New Jersey Summit as well. They specialize in community building and awareness and social emotional work, as well as Dr. Greenfield, who speaks to our students every year. And he really kind of builds that extra family feeling to our students as well. So like we said before, it's kind of exposing them to things that they don't naturally and normally see and get involved in and really and being a part of that. We also do, I didn't mention this before, but we require our students to do community service as well.
Oh, that's so perfect.
Yeah, we do a big give back, gives back
no
program
way.
In February. Yeah, where we raise in New Jersey what we normally do is we raise, collect items for the Montclair State food pantry for students on campus who may not have the opportunity to have a meal plan or might run out of meal plan swipes, but it'll fund our students in the future.
Yeah.
We have a food pantry down in Rowan University, too, as well for our scholars.
My gosh. That's amazing. Well, I'm sure you realize this, too, but I always say volunteerism and giving back and giving of yourself, it's how we're wired, and it brings you more happiness than all get out, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I mean that you're incorporating that into that whole framework is incredible. Mm-hmm. So who is Dr. Greenfield? I don't know.
Yeah, the best way, it's kind of hard for me to explain who he is or like what he does, but I don't want to call him a motivational speaker because he does way more than that. He really challenges our students to kind of dig deep within themselves and be kind of proud of who they are. You know what I mean? Like one of the things I know he specified last year with our students was you have 80 other students around you looking at you all accomplishing and wanting to accomplish the same goal. Like, don't be afraid to step out of your shell, make new friends, really develop yourself and crush those challenges. At the end of the day, I know one of the things that we talk about with Bob is that you have somebody who believes in you. You know what I mean? That can go to the ends of the earth. You know, you have a community of people around you who want you to succeed. You have the give back support. Like at the end of the day, that's really all you need. Like you can go and crush your goals. Like all you need is that one person and you can literally achieve everything you want to achieve.
Yeah. Is he a friend of Pop's or is
so
he part
he's
of the organization?
Friend of, yeah, okay. He's a friend of the organization, the best way I can explain.
Okay. No, that's great.
He's our other, Daryl Edmonds, who actually is the head of mentoring and CBO relations, has a close partnership with him.
Okay.
So he brought him to visit our students a couple times.
Nice. And I part of the videos there was Bob was talking to Tony Robbins.
Yeah. So that was, oh my gosh. I was like,
I don't know. I was just perusing the different videos, but Tony Robbins is on your support list, right?
So Tony Robbins does support us. So I don't know if it was last year, like all my years. Tony Robbins and Bob had met a few times and they just hit it off. Like they became good friends. They started talking about ways that we can partner and incorporate. And Tony Robbins quickly became a partner within like months.
Nice.
So that was, that's crazy. Yeah. I almost completely forgot about that, but they did hit it off. And Tony Robbins has been a big advocate of ours for a while.
Yeah, and then have there been other companies that have come on board? I know there's wealth management, like different people that want to support, right?
There are. I think our biggest supporter would be Bob's for-profit Beyond right now. Are you familiar with kind of how that works?
Yeah, tell us about that. I've heard of it, but why don't you walk through that
Bob
with us?
Bob started a new for-profit called Beyond. And so technically, GiveBack owns 50% of Beyond.
Okay.
So 50% of the profit that Beyond makes actually goes right back to give back to help us fund more scholarships for our students. Okay. So the more successful his for-profit does, the more successful the nonprofit and the growth of the nonprofit is going to be. And I think what that really does, and I've been to a couple events for like with Beyond, kind of just seeing kind of how they're motivated, and it motivates them in a way that's like so unique because they know that the work that they're doing is really going to affect people's lives. Like you're really seeing how these students are graduating and you can affect more students by the success of just doing what they do, you know?
Yeah, getting the crowd going and expanding and beyond. I think it's like tech consulting or something.
Well, I believe it's payment processing.
So okay, well, that's what Heartland. So he started this company, Heartland, and it does payment processing. And then so is Beyond is like the next, because Heartland's still around, I think, right?
I think so they were bought by Global.
Oh, they were.
I believe, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then he started Beyond afterwards.
So. Oh, okay, good. Yeah. All right, good for him. Yeah, no, he's a serial entrepreneur, this guy, Bob. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I know. It's an incredible story. So I'm looking forward to reading the other book, too. Mm-hmm. So, did you do a study or something to find out, because you said you're focusing on the kids who are incarcerated, or parents who are incarcerated, homelessness, and foster kids.
Yeah.
So how did you come to that conclusion?
That was a little bit of a, we definitely kind of honed in on that for a reason. And the reason being is that's where we can make the biggest effect. You know, when you see that cycle of incarceration, if a student's parents incarcerated or in the foster care system, they're most likely going to wind up right back in jail, mm-hmm. which is an issue. And we want to break that cycle. Mm-hmm. The biggest way we've seen to break that cycle is through education. You know, if colleges promise at the end of high school, those students are more likely to push themselves to reach that goal. You know, a lot of them need a chance or opportunity. And that's where we kind of really see that. We've also saw that we can actually send more students within that window to college. That's because there's more state funding behind those students. So if we double down and say we gave them like $5,000 for that, the state then is going to supply almost about double that money to make sure that student gets to college and has those funds behind. So it's a little bit cheaper for us to do that.
Yeah.
And with that being said, we can send more of that kind of demographic to college, which is a big deal.
Totally. And then I think in what I read, the colleges that you partner with, they provide tuition at a discounted rate for these scholars and hold slots for them.
Exactly. So we actually pay for all of our scholarship, all of our seats ahead of time.
Okay.
So that money is already set aside. So say if we pay for 50 seats at one of our partner colleges, we have those 50 seats.
Nice.
And with those 50 seats, we just fill them as we go. And once we get to that point where we need to renew, we'll renew and we'll go from there.
Yeah, and my daughter goes down to VCU in Richmond. I know, I love it. And she looked all over the country in different places, and I said, and they have a huge population of first-generation college students.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, it's such a great town, and it's got her experience a different part of the U.S. than the Northeast. And so she's having a ball down there. And so I know, it's right in the heart of Richmond. The city is amazing. Mm-hmm. Lots of good food and everything. So I think it's just incredible that all these different kids are having these opportunity and to meet all these different people, you know. I think it's incredible. So did you do talk to us a little bit about statistics? We were talking before the show about how people don't realize that the incarceration, they're building prisons to fill, the way that they determine how many prisons to build is they look at some of the literacy rates among the kids, and because incarceration is a profitable private business, and it's backwards, right?
So it's weird to think about that. If our second graders can't read, we'll just build more prisons to accompany them when they get to that point. It's like, that doesn't really make sense, you know? Mm-hmm. Why don't we invest in their education? Why don't we push them to achieve and then have more productive citizens in that same thought process, you know? So I know one of the things that Bob always touts for our program is that when we invest in our students, we have a 90% graduation rate. And that's fantastic. 90% is like knocking it out of the park. So that means 90% of our students, when they are chosen in ninth grade, are graduating college in 4 years.
Wow.
Which is like, ooh. Like,
that's something to be proud of.
Yeah. And it shows that it's working. And I think our numbers show that it's working. Like, we're doing what we're supposed to do. I don't know if it's still 100, but 100% were employed.
Yeah, I think that's on it says on the website.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I
must be super, like, we updated them without me knowing, but I think it's still 100%, which is like, I don't understand. It's very much shows how it's working, you know?
Yeah.
When you see numbers like this, it's hard to be like, why would I not be invested? And I know that we had actually opened a program in Kansas, which was, I think, our first private investment from the Malooks, who are fantastic people. And they saw the numbers and they were like, Bob, it works. You know, we really want to back you on this. And we're hoping that as the program continues to grow, other people are seeing this and go, let's back you on this, Bob. Let's put this to the test and see if we can really make a change together. So it's just a fantastic program.
I know, obviously. And you're going to expand. And because right now you're in California, Delaware.
California, Delaware, New Jersey, Illinois, and Kansas.
Yeah, that's incredible. So, and you want to grow
New York,
and,
too. I'm sorry.
Oh, New York, too? New York too? Well. Okay, good. Yeah, I know it's probably hard to keep up.
Yeah.
It's always
changing and growing, so you got to just update your numbers whenever you can.
Yes, and how are you identifying the scholars in the school? So you partner with the community. Yeah. You talked about, you identify schools.
When I was saying we had partnered with the communities, when we first started, we actually kind of advertised it out, and whoever it was first come first serve from right. there. But what we really did is we kind of developed a relationship with these high schools. So not only do we know the students and what high schools they go to, but their guidance counselors play a pivotal role yeah. in the communication that we have. So like, think about it. We have to get updated grades. We have to know how they're doing at home. Social, emotional, everything like that. We want to make sure that the student is on the right path. So these guidance counselors in these schools actually end up playing a major role in building a relationship with the principals too as well. So like when I say we want to get more involved with the community, that's why. We want to make sure that the surrounding community also is aware that these scholars are a thing, and we can help them kind of build that relationship around all of them. So.
Right, and you create a funnel, which is so key, because even for anyone applying to college today, it's with the FAFSA and the different forms and the applications and the SAT, and yeah. it's a whole mind-boggling process. So
we just did college admissions, I want to say 3 months ago, for the seniors now, to make sure they all got accepted in what they were supposed to do. And I had essays, paperwork, yeah. number, like finances, like it was like, oof.
It's a lot.
It's a whole lot. And especially for 120 kids, it's like I'm looking at numbers every single day. So applications, all of that stuff.
It is daunting, but it's also really good life lessons. Mm-hmm. Like you have to, I mean, I'm on my kids all the time, you know, did you do this? Did you file this paper? Did you fill this out? You know, and I'm making them do it because this is life. You have to be accountable.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly.
So it's good that you've got the support structure, but you're helping them get through this process.
Yeah,
and
making them proactive, because once they're on campus, there's not much more hand-holding we can do. So we want to make sure that they're prepared. We also, once they've gone on campus, I don't want people to think that we don't support them. We very much actually have already started building those niches and those relationships and letting them know what resources they have on campus. This year we had a group of freshmen at Rowan, and we really did build a community around them. So our students next year, who are seniors in high school, when they go to Rowan and they're freshmen, they'll have a community already built. They'll know what resources are for them. We have space on campus down there, so we do have office hours where they can come visit us, check in, and make sure they're up to speed.
Yeah, that's incredible. And some of the other statistics that I got from the website, 50% of youth who age out of foster care become homeless.
Yep.
That's horrible.
It's because they don't have the necessary resources set up for success when they get
there. Yeah, you know? Totally. So I had Danielle Glido on the show, who does One Simple Wish, where she grants wishes for foster kids, whether it's a Barbie or a Lego set, or one guy got his citizenship. Fees paid for, so it runs the gamut, and they're in 49 states, so that might be another partner that you might hook up with, because they are, I mean, she's amazing. And she's right in Trenton. So there's a lot of synergy here, because I think people need to pay attention to, you know, foster kids, and you, like the incarceration rate. We had the Girl Scouts on here, and they talked about there's a troop, I don't know if it's called Troop 6000, where girls that either are orphan, or there's another thing that works with the, if they're parents are in prison, they can still join Girl Scouts. And it's great.
I actually had no idea. That's incredible. I'm learning more and more about the entire, well, one, foster care system by itself, how it operates, what things are allotted, like what programs are available. Like I think we've kind of started taking a step in that direction, and we're trying to learn so much more about it. So the more information, the more connects that we can build with that is major.
Yeah, and I think that people are starting to, well, I mean, CASA does a lot of work
so we partner,
good.
So we do partner with CASA. I know Bob has also made a very big push with that. I know that we actually work, can't remember specifically what CASA program it is, but we work specifically with them to find our foster students within their program.
Okay, good, because they're huge. They're everywhere. They've got a lot of great volunteers, and they've got attorneys that volunteer where they have to go through training to represent, and then you've got other people that are just helping with the paperwork. I mean, it's definitely a process, for sure. So tell us a little bit more about how you first learned. Oh, so it was at Princeton Day School that you learned about it.
Yep.
And then your brothers joined in.
So they also joined the program, and I think that was like a really big blessing for us. I know that it was a way for my parents to kind of make sure that we got that exposure that we never really had. So we grew up in Trenton, so we really didn't – it wasn't too much other world exposure that we were getting. But my middle brother, Josiah, who's also in the Through the Fires book, he attended Goucher University and just – I'm going to say 2 weeks ago, graduated.
Good for him.
Big deal. It's continuing to kind of push us. My youngest brother is a junior at Princeton Day School, so he's almost done.
Nice.
That'll be the full circle story. And I know that we keep, like, I see Bob every day because I work with him.
Nice.
But he always keeps in touch with our family. We talk all the time. Hopefully we can get dinner. Like we used to like get dinners and things like that.
Yeah.
So just, we just stay in the loop and build a connection. I think that's one of the things too that people don't necessarily know is that Bob genuinely has a relationship with a lot of these students. We have an annual dinner in Illinois and in New Jersey and Delaware where he actually comes and we see the students. The students get some time with him. He talks to us, like, talks to them. And really builds that relationship. And that's it's major. He's not one of those anonymous donors. Like, he's like, oh, I'm giving you money. He really kind of wants to invest in you and wants to see how you're doing. A lot of our students have his email. They'll email their updates. Aww. Like, hey, I just want to let you know this is how I'm doing. Thank you so much for the gift. I want to continue to build. And he's just like, listen, I believe in you. Let's help you get to that next level. So
yeah, and he is really connected because in his book, too, he talks about when he built his company, the Heartland Company, he was always putting employees first and employee relationships
it's
first and
truth.
Compensation. Yeah, so he's definitely loves to connect with people, whether it's anybody that he's working with. So does he split his time between Beyond and Give Back, or are they kind of intertwined?
They're kind of intertwined. So it's like I know when he was building Beyond, it was very Beyond focused. But when Give Back was being built, it was like he wanted to know what everything that was going on. You know, I know he runs into me from time to time. Josh, tell me how so-and-so is doing. Josh, tell me how so-and-so is doing. I'm getting updates. He's like, we're all like kind of working in a synergetic family. Like Give Back and Beyond actually work in the same office. So it's really interesting to kind of see how invested Beyond is in Give Back. You know, I'm talking to them all the time about like what we're doing, and they're talking to me about how they can help or what ways they can help. I know a lot of the Beyond employees mentor. A lot of the Beyond employees do their best to help. So it's like, it's a really it's a great environment to be in, to be honest.
Yeah. And you have a mentor application right on the website.
So we do. We have a mentor application on our website. And I believe it actually, for all applicable states. So I want to say it is California, it is Illinois, it is New Jersey, it is Delaware. And people can go to that website and apply for being a mentor. I know that, like I said before, we're changing from the one-to-one model to the community-based model.
Okay.
But we're still looking for some mentors to kind of help out in those gaps that we will have.
Right, and that's giveback.ngo.
Giveback.ngo. Right.
And if people are kind of considering that, what kind of time commitment would a mentor give? Is it after school or in evenings?
So
or how
it's,
to-
not, it's not too intensive. What we do ask is that you get in contact with your mentee once a week, sometimes a little bit less, depending on like the condition.
The relationship.
We don't want to hold you to something that isn't really necessary. And then meet with their mentee face-to-face once a month.
Okay.
So that is usually where the rapport is built. I do have monthly mentor calls where we check in, see how things are going, talk amongst mentors as a community to figure out what works, what doesn't work, what are some things that need improvement, how can Give Back improve on what we're doing, and really kind of get that going. So we do support our mentors as best as possible.
And do you give mentor training, or is there kind of an orientation?
Good. The mentor process is application, background check, mentor training with me. And then, or Daryl, and then we go to a point where we match you, and then we get you set up with your mentee. Usually, we help facilitate the first meeting, and we go from there.
Okay. Well, so pretend I'm a new mentor, and I'm interested in doing it. So, what kind of things would you talk to me? Is it a group mentor training or one on one?
Depends on who you apply with. If there is a group, I'll do it in group training, or we can do one to one.
Okay.
A lot of the things kind of range the gambit of what makes a good mentor, what is a good mentor, the regular rules and regulations of how Give Back works, state mandated rules. Things like that. You sign your agreements and then we go from there. But like I said, a lot of times it's like, what is a mentor really trying to do? Are you trying to be a friend? Are you trying to be a parental figure? You know, we kind of go over the do's and don'ts and how that really operates. And then kind of really getting into the nitty gritty. We kind of try to explain those situations that might be a little bit tough. As far as like, if you're a mentor and your mentee wants to go to a party and they're not supposed to go to the party, like, what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you kind of act in that situation? So we want to make sure that you're not knocked over the head with some crazy situations, because at the end of the day, these are teenagers, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And they're going, I think everybody knows they're in their teenage time. They were going, trying to figure out who they were, trying to go through some different things. So we want to make sure you're prepared for that.
Yeah, and their brain's not fully developed, right? I
mean, take some time, that's all.
Yeah, no, I mean, we've all been there. Yeah. So it's definitely a challenging time, even in the best of circumstances. Mm-hmm. So if you've got some other extenuating circumstances like incarceration or homeless, I mean, that makes it totally ups the ante there. And one of the quotes that I took from the book is how kids with nothing can change everything.
Yeah.
And I mean, because they've got resilience and grit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if I give these kids an opportunity, it opens up a whole new world for them.
Yeah. I mean, I have stories for days.
Yeah. Well, let's get some stories out there. Come on. Yeah.
Without naming names. We have one student in particular who is now going to be a sophomore in college. But what she did is she came from an environment where her mother was addicted to drugs. Her grandmother wasn't in the best situation. And she just didn't really have a drive, but she didn't really necessarily think college was attainable for her. So, you know, we got involved, offered her a scholarship. And then she just was like, you know what? I'm not used to this. It's too much pressure. I don't really want to be a part of it. Ended up going away for a little bit. We tracked her down because, you know, she's involved with us. And we were like, listen, you can do it. Like, we know you can do it. We're going to push you. We're going to be behind you 100%. She ended up going to Rowan, mm-hmm. crushing it, having almost a 4.0 GPA her freshman year and going into her sophomore year. And it's just like being a flag bearer for the program at Rowan Aww. University. So that's like, she's fantastic. That's all I can really say. And it's just stories like that where you have somebody who's like, this isn't possible for me. I don't think I'm going to do it. And we're sitting here telling you it is. Just give yourself an opportunity. Give yourself a chance. I mean, definitely there's some balance of things that's just to deal with in her life that, you know, we do our best to help with. At the end of the day, we can't do too much. But we do everything we can to support her, and she's seeing the fruits of her labor. Like, she now understands, I can compete at a collegiate level. I can not only compete, I can excel. So, like, with that in mind, I can graduate in 4 years, and what can I do from there, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we have other students. I think we had a publicized story about Dylan Chittick, who actually, so check him out. I think you can YouTube it at this point.
Okay.
But he's a scholar of ours who actually is a senior in high school, and he got into, I want to say, a few different universities, and he actually had gotten into TCNJ, which is one of our partner colleges, and he didn't have the money to go. It came from a situation where it just wasn't profitable, it wasn't affordable for him. And we saw it, stepped in, and was like, hey, listen, if you really want to do this, we can support you and help you go through that. So we offered him the scholarship. He'll be a freshman at TCNJ next year.
So exciting.
Which is fantastic. And then we have just a few other, like, students in situations where the student, where their freshman year was just like, listen, I'd be the first in my family to go. I don't necessarily have the best home environment. I don't have any support. And you have us give something back. And then their guidance counselor every day pushing them. Freshman year doing fantastic. Junior year struggling a little bit. Senior year about to graduate. Literally we have 120 students within New Jersey about to graduate. I'm like almost 85 plus in Delaware graduating this year, which is our first cohort.
Yeah.
And we are best believe we're going to attend as many graduations as we can.
Oh, so exciting.
But it's a fantastic feeling. And I have two mentees myself who have to go to their graduation. So when I tell you, it's just seeing this happen and kind of building these and selecting these students and just seeing them grow and finally getting to a point where they can accomplish their dreams and take that next step. It's just an amazing feeling, honestly.
I know. Well, because these kids, through their whole life, they've had nothing but struggle, challenge, beat down, whatever. And to have a whole team of people come and say, you can do this. I mean, it's got to be daunting at first and overwhelming. Like, well, what do you mean? Like, this is nothing like I've ever known. And to be a little wary, probably, sometimes.
Trust me, there were plenty of times where students were like, is this a real thing? Like, like, yeah, I know it's my friend. Like, I'm a sophomore now. And you guys still exist? Like, your seat is purchased. Like, we promise you, you'll be okay. So it's just getting them to that point.
Yeah, it's convincing them because and they're going to have to work hard too. But they, absolutely. You know, yeah. That's great. Well, we're going to take another quick break and then we'll be back.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
The traffic is stuck.
Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. 100 in Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help on 100 in Chamber Radio. Today we're talking with Joshua Meekins. He's the program coordinator for Give Something Back. You can look him up on the internet, giveback.ngo, and you're on Instagram and Twitter and all that good stuff. I'll give back.
I'll give back.
Give back. And so as the program coordinator, you're helping to foster community and get engaged more community organizations to help with your mentoring and with your funding and with things like that, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So with that being said, like I created this scholar summit, as we mentioned before. What we want to do now is we have a dinner every year called the scholar dinner. And a lot of our alumni come back for it at the same time. It's a moment for our scholars to feel proud of what they've received. You know, their friends and family and mentors come together just to celebrate them for that one night. And I know that in the future, as we go along in the fall, we'll be looking for sponsorships. So people who really want to get involved and kind of promote that and be a part of that experience. And it's a fantastic experience. We usually have over 200, 300 people attend. And it really, like I said, is a chance to highlight our scholars and have them feel special and feel like they really accomplished something receiving the scholarship. It's a very big deal. We have student speakers come. We have different speakers who have been friends of the program or sponsor speakers even speak at the event. It's a really big deal. So.
And is it usually in Princeton or Trenton? Or
it depends.
Okay, okay.
So usually we're going to start doing it at one of our partner colleges.
Oh, perfect.
Last year, where did we do it last year? Actually, we did it in Flemington, I think.
Oh, here. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So,
okay.
So hopefully this year we're going to aim to either do it in Princeton or do it at one of our partner colleges, probably Rowan, and go from there.
Nice. That's great. I love that. And, well, just another statistic that I'll throw out. So far, I think you've given out 1,500 scholars or scholarships at $36 million.
Yeah. Isn't
crazy.
That crazy?
I know,
isn't
right?
Crazy? And like, Bob doesn't want to stop. Like he continuously pushes himself, pushes us to get more and more. And I want to say we give out so 2 weeks ago, we actually had an event at St. Peter's where we surprised a group of students with scholarships. So they thought they were coming in for their second interview. And they actually were being surprised with scholarships at that moment. And the reactions that we got were fantastic.
Tears. Tears.
Tears. Joy. A lot of them was just like, what are you talking about? What do you mean? I have another interview to do. But it was fantastic. I think we give out 1,000 scholar then too as well.
Nice.
So that has been publicized. I don't know where exactly
there's a lot of videos. Like I said, I was watching all these videos this morning.
I was like, where did you find them?
You've got a YouTube channel. And the stories are just amazing. Well, and then you probably heard about the guy that did the commencement address down in Atlanta or something.
Morehouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, whoa, okay, look at you trying to one-up what we're doing.
I know, because he took on all their debt, right, or all their whatever. Yeah, no, it's so crazy.
It's
so
fantastic.
I mean, it's definitely a good model and a good thing to do. So no knocking that at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I was just going to go back. So Bob Carr, who started this whole thing, so he started out with a $250 scholarship that the Lockport Women's Club gave him.
Yes.
And then he went back to one of their dinners, and then he gave $5,000 to them. And they said that's the first time any of their scholars had ever given back. So he's got the give back motto.
Yeah.
And then he ended up giving him $100,000, I think, too.
He made a little bit more money.
Yeah, I know. Well, he's a go big or go home kind of guy, right?
Always has that mentality.
I know, but that's good. Like, yeah. He's been so successful, and now he's taking that success and spreading it all over in a big way. And that's – so I mentioned a little bit, I work for Room to Read, or I volunteer for Room to Read, and it was the same thing. It was a Microsoft executive. He decided to give back and create libraries and reading and literacy and help girls. And so, you know, they've 16 million kids have learned how to read and gone to school because of what he just decided, I'm going
to
do this.
It's honestly the smartest way to invest your money. You think about it. Like,
impact investing. That's the thing.
Exactly. You're impacting a whole community. You're impacting the world by investing in the future of the world. You know?
Yeah.
It's just, it makes so much sense.
And changing the cycle, like you said, breaking the cycle of incarceration, breaking the cycle of homelessness, breaking the cycle of foster care. Exactly. So, I mean, that's that. If you can't get behind that, then, you know.
I don't know what you're behind, right?
I mean, I know, people want to provide food, and yes, we do need food, and we need. Part of what this show is about is just telling people there's so many ways you can get involved. Just find something that speaks to you, or a mission, a cause, a person, anything, and just get involved, because it's the true meaning of happiness, I think. So
honestly, really.
Yeah, because you were compelled to come work for them, right?
It just made so much sense for me, like to honestly just give back to the, like, it's fantastic, and I think it's really unique, especially for me, to see students sitting in the position where I once was sitting, you know, going through those same situations, going through those hardships. It's a little bit easier for me to level with them and say, listen, I've done it. Yeah. I know you can do it. It takes a lot of grit. It takes a lot of, I can't deal with this right now. It takes a lot of, I have to kind of be the bigger person. But sometimes you got to sacrifice that stuff for the things you want, you know. You really kind of got to take that step. So I love the relationships that I built with the students, and I think they think I'm pretty cool. I have no idea, but hopefully they think I'm pretty cool. They text me and call me all the time.
Oh, that's nice.
It's nice.
Now, were you reticent at first when you were approached with this, or were you like, I'm on board, when you were a student?
Say it one more time. Sorry.
When you were first approached, when you were at Princeton Day School, were you like, I'm all in?
I was shocked. Like, a lot of the reaction, a lot of the students, I was like, is this a real thing? Like, is this like, I'm good? Like,
yeah.
I was really hesitant, but I mean, like, at first, like, once I understood what it was and the breadth of what it was going to do, I kind of was like, I'm with it. Like, I'm for it. And I was the first. It's funny because Bob has a picture of, like, I was a part of the first six to be a part of that program.
Really?
So there's a picture of us hanging in our office. Now people are like, oh, is that you on the picture? I was like, that is me in high school on the picture.
That's great.
He keeps track of all the graduates, where they went to school, all that. Like, we're pretty meticulous on how, like, what the students do and how they do it and where they go and things like that.
Well, that's important, I think, for any nonprofit or any, you know, anybody that wants to be successful. You have to measure and track and make sure you're on track and do the right thing. And like you said, you're identifying new areas where you can have the biggest impact and focus. Mm-hmm. And so that's important. You've got to do it smart. And I think that's what we're seeing with John Wood and Bob Carr and these people that were huge, successful business people applying that to the social sector and bringing that expertise and that know-how to affecting sustainable change. Yeah. So, yeah, no, that's great. So any other stories you want to share that have just touched you at graduations?
Any other stories? I think the closest situation I have is one of my mentees just started off the program really strong. Started off his sophomore year very strong, and then had a situation that he happened. You know, things got a little rough, but then there was another situation that happened where his mom had gotten very sick. So for him, it was like his world just flipped upside down. He didn't know how he was going to continue or move forward and kind of push. And just seeing the adversity that he showed, the stick-to-itis that he showed, to really just kind of, one, mature on his own, but to take care of his family at the end of the day, and get to his graduation. Like, it was just like, yo, you made it. Like, you did it. Like, after all the stuff that you went through, you're finally at this point where you can celebrate and be happy for yourself. He got his number one pick. He's going to Rowan, so he's excited. And it's just the stories are, like I said, are endless, and it's one of those situations where, like, as a mentor or somebody who's communally involved with these students, you really kind of get to build that relationship, and you their happiness is your happiness at the end of the day. You might be thinking like, hey, this student might not need that much from me. They seem like they're okay. They're teenagers at the end of the day. They're not going to try to connect with everybody. But when those moments come that they really need somebody to talk to help them, to be that other ear, to be that other piece of advice, and you can kind of fill that role, it means the world, you know? Like, they just need that person to see that it's possible, to know that this is something that I can do, you know? And it's a feeling like no other. I kind of feel like I'm tearing up a little bit on the inside thinking about it. But
it's so special. But, yeah. I mean, and you get so much more value out of it. I mean, it's just mutually wonderful for both, right?
Exactly.
And they know that you're going to be there for them, and you're going to answer their questions, and they're going to be a solid foundation for them.
I'm already like, so I get the text messages from the students that are like, okay, so my freshman year, like, are you going to be on campus? Like, where are you going to be? Like, yes, I'm going to support you guys. But I also have a whole bunch of other kids to make sure I take care of too.
Yeah. So well, just having a constant in their life, a constant source of reliable source is probably something they haven't experienced a lot, you know, because whether it's your parents are sick or this or that, you know, it's hard to not, I mean, so many of us take it for granted. You know, I grew up with parents that are always like, got your back, whatever you need, you know. A lot of people don't have that.
Yeah, and sometimes it's going that extra mile. Because I want to say, like, even when it comes to students who are like, I've gotten phone calls from students like, hey, I'm in a little bit of a sticky situation. Can you meet with me in 30 minutes? The staff is taking road trips to meet with kids
help
them out with certain situations. We want to kind of do whatever we can to make sure we build that support and make sure they succeed at the end of the day. Because it's...
Well, that's key.
Yeah, it's key, you know?
Yeah,
you need
that
support.
Yeah, and again, if you want to read Bob Carr's book, Through the Fires, check it out. It's a good business book, giving back. You know, he's all over the place, but he grew up in kind of a broken family and didn't have any support, and kind of this one scholarship for $250 transformed his whole trajectory.
$250 for college to me is like,
things have changed. I mean, yeah, no, I don't think that was a full ride, but it
helped a lot.
Yeah, it's amazing how a little investment of time and attention and money can transform so many things. So giveback.ngo, you can be a community partner, a sponsor, a mentor. There's all kinds of ways that you
reach
can get
out to us. There's tons of ways that we need people to help. Like we said, community organizations, churches, Boys and Girls Clubs,
Scouts,
anything that's involved. We want to really kind of get in touch with you. If you're a high school that wants to know how I can get my students involved, reach out to us. That's another one too as well. We're always building relationships that way too as well. If you know somebody who wants to, that could probably benefit from our program, we do admissions in the fall. You can see our application process online. It doesn't open quite yet. Usually opens sometime in October, right on our website.
Perfect.
What else? Anything. Like I said, if you have thoughts of how you want to possibly be involved, reach out to us.
Excellent. Thank you, Joshua. It's really fun.
It was fantastic. Thank you so much.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo meeting today with Mexico's foreign minister to try to reach an agreement over immigration and tariffs. President Trump threatening to implement tariffs on Mexico if it doesn't do something to stop the flow of migrants traveling through that country to the U.S. border. Last night, U.S. Senator Republican Lindsey Graham said,
if tariffs is what it takes to get Mexico to do better on their side of the border, I'm all for tariffs. Trump's not the problem. Mexico's the problem.
He spoke on Fox News. President Trump joining British Prime Minister Theresa May, Queen Elizabeth, and leaders of over a dozen other nations to commemorate D-Day in Portsmouth, England. The president reading the same prayer President Roosevelt read during a radio message just ahead of D-Day in 1944. This is USA Radio News.
I weighed 329 pounds. I was a heart attack waiting to happen. I got Enzo 400. It makes me not so hungry. I started noticing more energy. I noticed my belly was starting to shrink up. I started seeing weight come off, 80-some pounds. I went from 330 to 245. For a 56-year-old guy to lose that much weight, it took something, brother. I feel great. I feel like I was when I was 35 years old.
That was Ruben. Now listen to what Josh says about Enzo 400.
Well, I'll tell you, man, that stuff really works. It was insane. I've heard the commercials, what, for a decade? I was like, oh, I'm just going to try it. My pants are, like, falling off. It really works. I bought suits last year for my new job, and they're falling off of me. It's insane.
Guys, if you want to lose belly fat, gain energy, strength, and muscle, and look and feel years younger, try Enzo 400, the safe, natural, and affordable way to boost your testosterone. Go to Enzo400.com or call 888-400-0435. That's 888-400-0435. Enzo400.com.
Private sector job creation really slowing in May. The ADP private payrolls jobs report showing only around 27,000 new private sector jobs were created last month, the lowest in that report since the economy started expanding after the jobs market hit bottom in March of 2010, when 113,000 jobs were lost. The federal government's private sector and public sector combined jobs report for May will be out on Friday. Now, two medical testing companies are reporting that personal information of millions of their patients has been compromised. One day after Quest Diagnostics announced a data breach affecting 12 million patients, LabCorp said yesterday data of 7.7 million of its patients could have been exposed because of a breach at a third-party collections firm. Beverly Hills City Council has approved a measure making that city the first in the nation to ban most all tobacco sales. This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Florida officials charging the former sheriff's deputy who was hired to protect people at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High in Parkland, Florida, for not doing his job. Scott Peterson facing multiple counts of child neglect, culpable negligence, and perjury for his inaction during that school shooting that cost